more minutes before we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. Let's get in our mad dash. We talked a bit about Walgreens, the new CEO.
Yeah, Exxon's not the only important stock in the Dow. I happen to know Tim Wentworth is the new CEO. He's remarkable. I knew him from Medco. Might have known him from Cigna, Express Scripts. Here's what I know about him. He is a no-nonsense guy that can really generate tremendous returns, not yet, from the healthcare side. That's where he's from. It's only about $5-6 billion now versus the $100 billion. But if you close the underperforming stores, get rid of the stores that have bad shrinkage, and you up the healthcare, you will have a stock that is dirt cheap. Maybe they can do $4. Maybe they can do more. And I think people have, I've not been in favor of this stock now. I mean, literally for 20 points. But this guy's the real deal. And I just salute him and think he can take you to a higher price. And the stock should be bought, perhaps aggressively.
Did American corporations. Charles Walgreen was born to Swedish immigrants in 1873 in Knoxville before moving to Galesburg, Illinois in 1887 when he was really young. He attended Dixon Business College and worked as a bookkeeper for a while. Right after that, he worked in a shoe factory there, but soon became interested in pharmacology. And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you see this, Charles was in an industrial accident that cost him a part of his finger on his left hand. And the doctor who treated him persuaded him to become a druggist's apprentice. But he didn't really give up. He took it sportively. This is the story that inspired it all. If it hadn't been for this accident, he may never have become a pharmacist and later a phenomenally successful business owner and entrepreneur.
Yes. Hey guys, welcome to the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast, Master in the Trade. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, whatever you think about comes about, whatever you focus on grows. Hey, this week, I wanted to do a special podcast here. I won't make this long, but I wanted to get and dig into one of the dogs of the Dow and definitely one of the dogs of our portfolio, WBA, baby, none other than Walgreens.
Walgreens. Have you really wondered about the crazy story behind Walgreens, the very pharmacy chain that has about 8 million customers on a daily? Did you know that all it took was one accident? An accident where a man cut off a third of his middle finger, which led to the innovation of this massive chain around the country. Well, by now you should know that this is not just any regular founding story. The credit goes to Charles Rudolph Walgreen, the man behind this fascinating story of a neighborhood drugstore. Founded in 1901 and measuring just 50 feet by 20 feet, Walgreens grew to beat every existing pharmacy in the States, earning its title as one of the most respected American corporations. Charles Walgreen was born to Swedish immigrants in 1873 in Knoxville before moving.
All right, as is common, MFG, the dogs of the Dow strategy, if you, hopefully you, I would assume you've read my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke. I would advise, that's something you can go back to. It's a resource you can go back to often. In on chapter 10 entitled Dog Power, this is the strategy. If you're going to buy and hold, if you want to start in the world of dividends, if you want to start to learn how the stock market works, start right there. The Dogs of the Dow is a super simple strategy that has worked longer than you've been alive. Meaning your grandfather could have started doing this and your family would be rich right now. It basically, the concept behind it, the big picture philosophy is it takes last year's losers, buys them. Those have the highest dividend yields. You know, yields go inverse to price. So the lower the price, the higher the yield. You see this in real estate. Some says it has a 7 cap, 8 cap, 10 cap. Those are usually the beat up, rundown properties. Really nice, high quality assets don't produce much cash flow because of how valuable they are. And so as stocks go down in price, there's usually problems. And Walgreens has had a shit ton of problems. Everyone in retail had, you know. Plus, they're coming off a big, big boom of a lot of money they made during the COVID-19 crisis when a lot of other places were closed. These guys were open. And they benefited from all the booster shots and everything people would pick up when they're there. So as you compare earnings this year to last year, they're definitely in a downward projection. We're having that same thing over at CVS. Same things happening with some of the pharmaceuticals. They just don't have the boost and the money, and it's just not exciting there as the market is in bull rally mode, and we have all these tech stocks and the Ubers and the, all this stuff. All these things are headed higher. Who wants to own Walgreens? Well, when everyone else isn't looking at it, I want to look at it. That's how I made all of my money in oil, buying oil as it went down, buying stage ones. That's how I made my money in Ford. When everyone sells it off and the dividends cut and it drops to $4, hey, I like some of that. So we're seeing fundamentally the changes that need to be made at Walgreens. Some of this is just economics. Some of this is the structure. Some of this is just the way it is right now, okay? And a good business is just going to figure out how to ride through that. And Walgreens seems to be taking the necessary steps to do that, replacing the CEO. She had only been the CEO for about 3 years. Now, the reality is, I know most of you listening don't have a fuck clue who any CEO is of almost any company that you own. That's because you're not doing your homework. You need to know who the CEOs are. Super simple. As easy as you watch football, you can go to YouTube or Google and type in, who is the CEO of Pepsi? I just typed this in. Look at that. Ramon LaGuardia. Ramon LaGuardia is the chairman of board and director, chief executive of PepsiCo Corporation. PepsiCo products are enjoyed by, you see what I'm saying? And then I go drop this guy into YouTube. Now you know who he is. So now when you see things in news, you see names, you know what's up. Right now, AI, and a guy texts me, you're probably listening. He goes, who's this Sam guy? Is this the same as the stock that I own? In other words, he owns the stock, doesn't know who the creator is, doesn't know who owns it, just owns it because of hype. That means you're not doing your homework. This is not complicated, guys. You need to know who's in charge of these businesses. It'll give you insight. If they've been there a long time and the business is killing it, cool. Here, now, why? What is a reason you might want to know? What if he moves? This guy, Tim, coming in, he worked at Express Scripts. He worked at Cigna. So as we are going to see, as Walgreens begins to make shifts, as they compete with Amazon trying to get in there, CVS Pharmacy, the nature of healthcare is slowly starting to change in our world.
Walgreens CEO after less than 3 years, or out as Walgreens CEO after less than 3 years on the job, the stock sliding to a 14-year low. Anjali Kamlani is here with the details. Anj, we're looking at a loss of 7%.
That's right. And of course, the loss of CEO Roz Brewer just coming weeks after they lost their CFO, James Kehoe. So it's really two top spots at the company now vacant with searches to fill. Now, Roz Brewer didn't really give any indication. This comes a little bit as a surprise to many, but Evercore ISI analyst did say that the timing, while could be a surprise, does seem to fit with what Walgreens is moving into, which is their healthcare segment growth as a vertical, and may make more sense for someone who has that healthcare experience to be in the top spot, or at least the top two as a team, as the company moves away from being just a retail pharmacy giant.
Now, I know at the beginning, a lot of us aren't fans of Cramer, or we make fun of Cramer. Man, and what's funny on a side note about that, man, when I first came into the stock market, Cramer was the man. I bought all Cramer's books. I actually learned a lot from Cramer. My position in Pepsi was because of an interview like this when Pepsi was getting crushed and all of the things that produced sugar, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, the world had turned on it because all of the millennials were never, ever, ever going to eat sugar again. That's just the way the market is. If you haven't noticed, it's quite the drama queen. It's either AI is going to destroy the world or you don't even hear about it. And so this is the beautiful thing. That's called fear and greed. Everything is overhyped or taken too low. The market always goes way too low and it goes way too high. And that's what gives us our market structure or the four stages of price movement, which allows us as operators of the money flow trading system to take advantage of that fear and that greed. But back to what I was saying, Cramer made a point there in the beginning that healthcare is changing. They are trying to change the direction of Walgreens and CVS Pharmacy and some of these other smaller chains out there. But Amazon, the big 900-pound gorilla, wants to play in the field too. And this is where things get dramatized again. If Amazon moves into a sector, what happens? Oh, that's it. It's over. Amazon wins. Everybody wants to throw up the white flag as far as investors. I have made so much money fading Amazon, meaning when Walmart was getting crushed, there's never going to be another Walmart. Nobody's ever going to go to the store again, Gerald. That was the way they were acting 10, 15 years ago. Maybe it wasn't that far ago, 10 years ago. I mean, literally, guys, Amazon, we were only going to shop there forever, everyone. And I'm just thinking, well, I can't buy pants on Amazon because I need to try them on because my weight fluctuates. I can't do this. I can't do that. I need to go to the store, okay? People need to buy groceries in person. So I knew there were, even though, yes, the convenience of online, and yes, I use Amazon and DoorDash and Uber, and I invest in those, but damn it, my wife still likes to go to the damn store. My kids still like to go to the damn mall, okay? So I faded that because at a certain point, Walmart got too damn cheap. And I bought a whole bunch and it's since come up and it hasn't been a good value for me to buy since. But fading Amazon like that has always worked for me. So now we're seeing it here. We're seeing it where Amazon's going to try to take out CVS and Walgreens. I don't believe that. I'm not ordering pills from Amazon. I mean, I maybe in the future, a lot of people will. I don't believe that. So Walgreens, to compete, much like Walmart, they got to step up their game. They got to compete with the 900-pound gorilla. And then what they're going to try to offer you is in, you know, personal service and an actual pharmacy rep that you can talk to. So I think this presents a very interesting opportunity for us.
Amazon, United Health, and CVS are investing billions into primary care practices, with deals tapping into the nation's $4 trillion healthcare market. And it's part of a shift in America's costly healthcare system, moving away from the traditional fee-for-service towards value-based care. That model is about paying providers for keeping patients healthy, while a fee-for-service model is when medical providers are paid based on the amount of services performed. So why are companies spending billions on primary care practices? And what could the growing shift to value-based care mean for doctors, patients, and health insurers? The U.S. spends more per capita on healthcare than any other developed nation.
So it seems only makes sense as we make these changes, as healthcare in America changes, Walgreens, man, they got to shake it up. We need a new CEO. We need a new CFO. We need a whole damn new crew. We've watched you guys ride this stock down. We need new ideas, new innovation. We need AI. We need to get in there and start kicking some ass. And maybe this new guy can do that for us. Let's find out a little bit more about O10.
Well, a leadership shakeup is officially coming to Walgreens, the healthcare giant announcing Tim Wentworth will take the helm beginning October 23rd, nearly 2 months after Roz Brewer stepped down from the position. Now, Wentworth is the former CEO of health services company Evernorth and Express Scripts. Yahoo Finance's Anjali Kamlani has the details for Assange.
That's right, Shauna. The announcement this morning after there were already reports that he was being looked at to replace Roz Brewer, who, as we know, left abruptly a couple of months ago. There are also a number of C-suite positions still left vacant that Walgreens has said in their statement today that they are looking to fill. Now, Tim Wentworth, an interesting new fill for this position. As we know, the company has said they are looking for someone with a deeper healthcare experience. Wentworth does have a little bit of experience also in the retail space, working for Mary Kay and PepsiCo in the past.
He's also got pharma experience with some time at Merck. So there's a lot going on with this healthcare executive's background. Now, we've already seen a little bit of a reaction to this news. JPM analyst Lisa Gill in a note this morning saying that, quote, while there is work to be done across the company, we'll believe this is a good starting point entering fiscal year 24 and anticipate the stock will react positively. We've already seen that in the pre-market trading up about 2.5%. So certainly some good news for the company, which had been struggling post-pandemic, post-COVID boom wane. We've seen, you know, the last earnings.
OTW, that's what we're going to call him. Tim Wentworth, now the CEO. And it's been a couple months now, but this is our buy and hold, so it's not like we're day trading this. He's now the chief executive officer of Walgreens Boots Alliance, which I've always thought is a weird name, which is where we get the WBA from. Before that, he was retired. I guess that's what they call you when you leave. Side note: TW is worth $46 million, so he does have a few dollars. He has a track record here in the healthcare, and as we're seeing this change between Walgreens and CVS to take on the 900-pound gorilla Amazon, who's creeping into their space, we need more than a retail CEO is what we had before. They're just kind of sell cheap shit out the door. The nature of the business has to change and has become more service-oriented. And he big fame to claim, I guess, I don't know, 5 years ago or so ago, he was the Express Scripts president and CEO. We all know about that growth company. He did some big things over there, knows all about dealing with the government and healthcare and navigating that world of massive shit show. I can only imagine that it is. Then he gets, we all know Cigna. I mean, that's a famous name. He bumps up. He's president of health services at Cigna. Cigna is a much bigger company than Express Scripts. So, you know, he goes from president to boom, a president, but I bet there's quite a few presidents over there at Cigna. And then he goes to chief executive officer, which is CEO, like me, CEO of Evernorth. And then from there, he retires. He was retired almost 2 years. I'm assuming that meant he's just out, you know, and then he was approached by Walgreens to become the chief executive officer. It's pretty exciting. This guy's a real player. He's been a large corporate executive. And genuinely, he just seems like a nice guy.
Its largest donation ever today.
A $4 million gift will fund scholarships there. The donors, a couple, Tim and Robin Wentworth. In addition to their gift, it was announced today that the Wentworths are chairing a campaign to raise a total of $50 million for MCC. That is one of the largest campaigns ever for any community college. And there's more about the story of this couple giving millions to MCC.
As 13 Wham's Doug Emblidge tells us, the Wentworths are someone you should know.
Yeah, an interesting story. In addition to the $4 million donation they pledged, Tim and Robin Wentworth gave $2.25 million to MCC just a few years ago. Their devotion to the school is rooted in something that happened 40 years ago. It was the fall of 1978. The Wentworths were fresh out of Rush Henrietta, and the two high school sweethearts chose to stay close to home and to each other at Monroe Community College.
I was just a kid from Henrietta. All three of my siblings went to MCC, and I thought this would be a great start for me.
Eastman Kodak had created a scholarship program for students with promise but with need, and I was a recipient of that scholarship. And so got the letter, and I thought, you know what? Why wouldn't I go to MCC for 2 years?
Business.
Now, I'm not going to make you sit and listen to the whole history of Walgreens, but I am going to play another part for you, because studying and we have a whole channel inside of Discord that most people ignore. Oh, I'm too busy. And so you're not learning about these powerful, powerful founding members of these companies, like who founded Walgreens. You should know who founded all of the businesses that you're investing in, not trading. But if you're putting your fucking family's life savings, your money, all your time, talent, and treasure, and you're going to take the time to park it into a stock, fuck, man, read on it. The Bible says You should study to show thyself approved, man. Be approved. You are a business owner. You are running a portfolio of businesses. Act like a business owner. Know who works for you. Know where they come from. Know what they're about. Understand the founding. This is work, work, work. I mean this. I'm stressing it because it disappoints me when I meet Money Flow gang members who've been with me 2 years, 3 years. And as we talk, I can sense it. I can feel it. You are behind. You've not put in the work. And I can also sense it and feel it with the people that have. It emanates from them and their returns show it. I'm up almost 100% this year. That means if you had $1 million, it's 1.8 fucking million. Think on that. I'm up 70-something% day trading. And I meet a lot of people, they ain't got time to do. You don't have time to make $1 million in a year. Now, the reason they don't have time is they live a life of lack and poverty and they're not used to lots of money. You don't have a lot of money in the market, so you don't put a lot of attention on it. But if I handed you 100 fucking million tomorrow, I bet you'd put attention on it. So if you want 100 million, I do. I want 10 million. That's my goal. I probably will have more like 20, right? But if you don't act as if and walk as though, man, if you got 10, 20 grand, and you're kind of half-ass tippy-toeing through the woods, and guess what? That's what you're going to have, man. So you're going to have to rise up and act as if and walk as though, meaning you need to manage as if you have a lot more, if you ever want to have a lot more. And I can tell you this, there's no fucking fund manager who doesn't know who's running the company, doesn't know the PE, meaning if I walked up and just started asking, you're like, oh, I don't know. Well, then you're not doing a good job, man. So why would God bless you if you're not doing good with what you have? Now, if you say to me, so help me God, I'm too busy, I will literally come through this podcast and punch you in the face. I am so sick of hearing that. I am sick of 30 to 45-year-old grown men looking right at me and saying that. That is bullshit. You have the exact same time Donald Trump has that Jesus had that I have. It's what are you doing with it? You have an obligation to your family, to your country, and to whatever God it is you look up to be a steward of the assets they gave you. It is a commandment. And most people fail. You don't have to. You have everything you need. You have all of the resources. You have charts, you have phones, you have pads. You can do this fast. You have systems, everything in place. You can just boom, put it in Google, bam, it just tells you. You just got to move faster, think faster, take control, and stop making excuses, man. You're so powerful. You're such a powerful sentient being. You can have more, do more, and be more than you ever thought possible, man. I haven't worked a job since I was 32 because I fucking didn't want to. Because I chose it. Excuse my language, but I am fired up here. I'm tired of seeing Money Flow gang members work jobs you don't like, spending 8 to 10 hours on someone else's dream, and then when it comes to yours, you don't have time. That pisses me off. It pisses me off that you'd spend more time at work than on your stocks and your investments. You spend 8 to 10 hours every day, 50, 60, 70 hours, and then it gets to Sunday and, oh, I don't have time to do my homework. It drives me crazy. And for those people that don't, good, stay poor. Good, stay poor. You deserve it. And that's God talking through me. If you don't have time to study, you don't have time for your, you deserve it. But you don't have to choose that. That's what I'm trying to say. Now listen to this thing about Walgreens. Listen to what this guy does. He gets into an accident. You might think your life's over. I do one-on-ones with all the time people all the time. Something bad's happened. They're trying to figure it out. They're all distressed. Walgreens came out of an industrial accident. And then he doesn't go start a business. He needs to learn skills. And so he goes and works for someone else to get the skills so that he could go out and do it on his own. And that's what we'll see. And I'll just play a little bit of this and we'll wrap this up, man. Hey, listen, man, I'm on your team, man. I'm mad for you. I'm your coach, man. I'm mad for you. Let's make this happen, man. Come on, kick it up. Kick it up, damn it. Your dividends should be higher. You should be looking at them every week. What dividends am I getting this week? What dividends am I getting this month? You should know this. If you don't know that, shame on you. You should know that. You're a manager. Come on, man. Elevate your game, man. Elevate your game. Let's go.
Inspired it all. If it hadn't been for this accident, he may never have become a pharmacist and later a phenomenally successful business owner and entrepreneur. Going back to the story, Charles remained in that company until the age of 20. So during this time, his interest in this field grew so much that he was ready to relocate to Chicago with just $20 that he had borrowed from his sister, Clementine, in 1893. While he stayed in Chicago, this boy went all out. He worked in drugstores and studied pharmacy in his free time. He tried to do as much as he could. He never stopped hustling and believed that someday he will be able to make it in life. He had really hard times, which he went through alone. There were times when Charles had financial trouble. You wouldn't believe this, but there was a time when he only had 5 cents to his name and literally had to survive with just that. But instead of desperately counting pennies, he went out and bought a 2-cent newspaper and threw the remainder in the Chicago River in hopes that it would bring him good luck. Well, eventually, luck did favor him. But I would say it was more of hard work. I really wonder how he could resist all his urges and be this positive even during such sucky times.
Was it as easy as it looked?
No, sir. No, I'm sure it wasn't.
So things did get better and changed his life completely. Charles managed to become a registered pharmacist in 1897. He was also patriotic and wanted to do his duty towards his country. So he enlisted and served during the Spanish-American War. We all might not be so determined and stuck to our goals as this young man, because just as he completed his term and returned to the United States, he again worked in Chicago as a pharmacist to keep his passion fueled. That's a lot of commitment to one's dream. Now, one crazy yet smart thing Charles did was to buy his first store in 1901 using up all the money he had saved. He gambled with money by investing so much without the assurance of a crazy successful business. But things did turn out to be in his favor. He was able to establish C.R. Walgreen and Company in 1909 with the little that he had. He didn't stop there. By 1916, he owned 9 drugstores, which he incorporated as Walgreen Co. Walgreens was one of the first chains to carry non-pharmaceuticals as a mainstay of the store's retail selection. The rapid expansion has often been attributed to Charles's policy of reinvesting a large part of the earnings back into the business. This was a trick that favored him for many years, and I'm pretty sure that off late, every business uses his idea. Initially, according to Walgreens history, there wasn't much to distinguish his store from any other drugstore in Chicago, at least not at first. If you ever passed by his store back then, you probably wouldn't even notice that the store had changed hands, unless you looked up at the small gold-lettered sign over the doorway saying C.R. Walgreen, R.P.H. Charles attempted to distinguish his stores from other drugstores of the day. He wanted to make things fancy so that it would stand out. So he installed eye-catching displays and attractively merchandised windows, a direct departure from the boring, lifeless stores people had become accustomed to. It wasn't just this. Another first was to make his own line of drug products, which enabled him to ensure the highest quality at a low price. By now, we should have understood that Charles wasn't the ordinary kind, and he always wanted to do things differently. He did not really like how drugstores functioned and believed that the traditional chains had become outdated and that consumers wanted more. He was a really innovative person and kept thinking of different ways to engage with his customers and provide better service. He even went as far as to popularize the lunch counter by connecting a soda fountain. The really popular malted milk as a fountain item was first introduced in one of his stores in...
Again, you can catch that story on your own in YouTube. It is fascinating. We're seeing a lot of what we see today. Man, they got to evolve. They got to change. Business goes through troubles. Business goes through prosperity. If you're owning a portfolio of businesses, some are going to do good, some are going to do bad. Some we can trim and add to the ones that have done bad. Walgreens, is a dog of the Dow. I don't know the future. Maybe they go out of business. I don't believe that. But I'm saying, I don't know. Nobody knows. We have to say that. Don't buy it because of me. I buy it because of a strategy that I follow. It's called the Dogs of the Dow. It served me well for many, many, many years. I also like the company. I like what it does. I use it all the time. I go there all the time. That's also a tenet of mine. If I use the product, then I like to know about it. I like to research it. Being an investor, being an investor or and a trader is being an investigator. You have to like this stuff. You have to like business. You have to like reading. You have to like researching. If you don't, go find a new hobby. You're not going to do well here. But listen, man, I appreciate you coming here. This right now, Walgreens is trading at 20, what is it, $21.22. It is a stage one. It's tried to break out. And to me, it's a classic money flow bottoming pattern. If you're a trader, obviously below the stage one, you place a stop. If you're an investor, we accumulate shares on stage one. It's literally called stage one accumulation. And we hold. If it drops, breaks it, and goes into a stage four, I wait for the next one. So all the way down, I've been accumulating because my hold time is for life. And so that allows me to take advantage of these stage ones and build real wealth. That has always worked for me. And my biggest winners are almost always last year's losers. And that is also the strategy of the Dog of the Dow. I hope this helps. I will personally be accumulating shares this week as I have money, just as I was last week of medical properties, MPW. And, you know, I'm always targeting one specifically, but as the charts set up and as things set up, always do your homework. If you go to thepetersreport.com, it's free. It's delayed. If you want all that shit in real time, you got to hook up with me and my friends over at the Money Flow Trading Society. Hey, maybe consider that. Jump in, get in our group, man. We'd love to have you. We have a killer Discord, and I send out some text alerts when I make moves. I play with an open hand, and it's not for you to mimic me. It's just for you to learn and see what it is and what I've done. Man, I hope this helps. God bless.